Well, good morning, church family. It's good to see you, young and old. Looks, I think the young are escaping now. But, well, there's personal fellowship with God makes all the difference. Personal fellowship with God makes all the difference. Now, if you want to know that, ask Enoch. Go and read Enoch anyway in Genesis, but if you want to wait until heaven, you could probably ask Enoch yourself. But personal fellowship with God makes such a difference. It makes all the difference, in fact. But this morning, I thought you deserve a little break from my very long and slightly buffeting sermons. Do you ever feel like I've slapped you across the face with a wet fish after I've preached on Sundays? Jackie, you do? Okay, Jude, no. Mike, you do? Well, you're supposed to. That's what I'm aiming at. But so I thought I'd give you a little bit of a break anyway from my long buffeting sermons. And it was a breath of fresh air last week to listen to Fads guide us through Revelation chapter 4 and God's awesome throne room. And funny enough, since Fads' message last week, each time I look into the sky, or if it's gone a bit cloudy and a bit dark in the sky, you might have done the same thing, having listened to Fads last week. Did you look up in the sky when it went all dark and cloudy to see if you could see Bananarama? Did you? Did you look and see if you could see the 80s girl band Bananarama when it was going to be thundery? No? That's what Fads said. Well, if you are wondering what happened to Bananarama, you now know that they moved to Zimbabwe, and whenever it gets stormy, they appear. Is Fads on today? Let me just too quickly. Is Fads here around? Or is Ed's around? Is Fads around? Oh, I can't see. But Fads and Ed, if you're around, ask someone who Bananarama is if you don't know. Or if you pronounce it, I think it's Bananarama or something like that. So anyway. On with the message, hopefully. So before last Sunday, I was wondering if I should take a week's break from teaching on Revelation and share with you something I've shared before. Now, I was a little hesitant to do that, to share something I've already shared before. But I questioned myself thinking, why do I want to do it again? Why do I think you need to see it again? And I thought to myself, do I want to show it because I made it and I feel like showing it? Or do I want to show it because I'm too lazy to write a sermon? Or do I really want to re-show it because I really want people to get the message? So what do you think? Should we have a vote? No, don't worry. We're not going to have a vote this time. But probably all three reasons. But I can honestly say that my motivation for promoting this video, which you're going to see in a minute, is I really, really want you to get the message. And most of you got it anyway, but just to reiterate the message of fellowshipping with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I waited to see if the Holy Spirit would actually let me know whether I should play the video again. And I got my confirmation last Sunday morning. And it wasn't in the form of Bananarama. It was in the form of, whilst I think it was Chris, it might have been Maynard, but think back to last week, Maynard or Chris began by speaking about Hebrews 12 and the passage that talks about fixing our eyes on Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of our faith. And then Katie shared the video about the story of Mary and Martha, if you remember back. And Mary sitting at Jesus' feet and Martha getting very disgusted and upset with Jesus and with Mary because she was doing all the work. But Jesus told Martha, Mary has chosen that which is best. And those two passages from the Bible, fixing her eyes on Jesus and Mary and Martha, are encouraging for anyone to hear. But for me, they were of specific importance when you read what I had read in my or written in my journal about 2 hours before the church service. So I won't read all of my journal to you, but having poured out my heart to Jesus in written form and then having read it aloud to him, here is what I sensed Jesus saying back to me. Now, when you listen to this, you'll recognize why the two scriptures were so pertinent. So I felt Jesus saying this to me. Careful, David, that you do not lose your focus on me and fix your eyes on other things instead. Not that I don't want you, not that I don't want you to enjoy other things, but make sure that you keep your eyes fixed on me, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Nothing else can perfect your faith. Your heart will be where your treasure is. So watch what you get fixated on. Because if it's not me, it will lead you away from me and you will no longer be where I am, which is finding yourself on the wrong place, in the wrong time, doing the wrong thing. David, this discipline of coming into the secret place with us, now when Jesus says us, he means Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This discipline of coming to the secret place with us each morning has been transformational for you and has meant that despite circumstances to the contrary, you have been able, more often than not, to keep your eyes mostly fixed on me. Can you imagine what your eyes would be mostly fixed on if you had not gone into this discipline of coming to me each morning? Well done for hunkering into this discipline rather than filling the space with pressing issues. This, David, is the better thing you have chosen, and it shall not be taken away from you. When the day comes and you have joy forevermore in my presence, you will be so, so glad that you responded to my call to sit at my feet like this. This time is my gift to you, which you have lovingly chosen to bring back to us and share with us. It shall be a memorial offering forever. So to have Chris and Katie speak the same scriptures that I felt Jesus spoken to me that morning, which speak about fixing our eyes on him and sitting at his feet, I took that as a green light to reshare the video this morning. Now, what we see throughout scripture, from Genesis to Revelation and in between, is God seeking closeness with people, a relationship that includes intimacy and friendship. In the beginning, God came to walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. And at the end, in Revelation, in the seventh letter, we read a couple of weeks ago that Jesus described it as him standing there knocking, waiting to be let inside for fellowship. And Fads described the same thing last week by using this scripture. So get your Bibles out. Before we watch the video, you need to get your Bibles out at least once. Maynard, phone or handbag this morning? Handbag, excellent. Okay. Colossians chapter 1. Fads described this desire of God's fellowship using this scripture last week. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Nearly there, Jackie. Nearly there, Karen. Nearly there, Sheila. Nearly there, Gavin. If you are looking at your Bible, you're nearly there, or are you just texting? Colossians chapter 1, 27. All right. It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is another way of God expressing his desire for fellowship, close relationship with you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now we see that as our hope, don't we? Christ in us, our hope of glory. But what if you read it that it's actually God's hope too? That Christ in you and his glory has always been God's hope for you. Closeness with you has always been his hope. And when you meet that hope God has by drawing close to him, as it says in James, he gets to draw close to you. And then you get to know his glory in increasing measure. Is it backwards or forwards to Corinthians? I think it's backwards, isn't it? Turn backwards to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. God's hope for you is to experience his glory of Christ in you. And to experience that glory, he desires you to draw closer to him. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, and we all who with unveiled faces, and it says later that you get an unveiled face when you turn to the Holy Spirit, you turn to the Lord, you get the blinding removed from you. We all with unveiled faces contemplate, another word of saying fixing your eyes or fixing your attention, a bit like that other scripture. With unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory. That's glory and more glory and more glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So this is another way of saying Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when you contemplate this glory, when you fix your eyes on this glory, you are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now, according to this scripture, the way to be transformed into the image of Jesus with ever increasing glory is to contemplate the Lord's glory, to contemplate Christ in you. How do we contemplate the Lord's glory? Well, I'll read some scriptures to you that will give you a clue as to how to contemplate the Lord's glory, and also speaks of God's desire for friendship or fellowship with you. In Jeremiah 29, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And 1 Chronicles 22 says, now set your heart and soul to seek the Lord your God. And Amos 5 says, for this is what the Lord says to the house of Israel, seek me and live. And in James 4:8, draw close to God and he will draw near to you. Now, I want to point out here that drawing near to God is different from doing things for God. Martha was cooking for Jesus, was she not? She was busy cooking for Jesus. But Jesus said to her, Mary has chosen what is better. Now, that doesn't mean to say that doing things for Jesus is not good. It is very good. They're the good works that God has pre-planned you to do. He has amazing good things for you to do. But there is something better than just doing for Jesus. And that is drawing near to him, sitting and contemplating him, his glory, fellowship with God. So God's true desire is not just to win the lost, but to win their hearts too. Okay, so your salvation isn't God's end goal. It's a means by which you can now behold him and he behold you forever. He wants you now and in eternity to be able to behold him, but he wants to behold you too, now and for eternity. I heard someone recently say, the parable of the pearl of great price flows both ways. The parable of the pearl of great price flows both ways. If you don't know what that parable is, you should do. So carry on reading your Bible until you come across it. It means that you are Jesus' pearl. But it also means that Jesus is your pearl too. The pearl of great price flows both ways. Now, three more scriptures and then we should watch the video. So turn backwards to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. We'll hear the Father's desire. We'll hear the Son's desire. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. Hear the Father's heart for you. Are you there? Okay, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The Father calls you into fellowship. He calls you into obedience, into doing as well. But the better thing out of all these things is fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Father desires for you to have fellowship with his Son. And what does the Son desire? Shall we have a look? Matthew chapter 6. We're going to watch the video in a minute, promise. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Who's going to be first? Oh, Phil. Phil's got a thumbs up there. Oh, you got the phone. It's all right. Yeah, Gavin's there as well. Okay, thumbs up from people. Excellent. Okay, Matthew 6, verse 6. Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Some of your versions might say who is in secret. It means the same thing. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Now, what do you think your reward is for praying in secret to the Father? Well, God said to Abraham, I am your very great reward. The greatest reward for praying to your Father in secret isn't answers to prayer. It's actually more of him. He's your very great reward. The Father desires us to fellowship with Jesus. And equally here, Jesus desires us to fellowship with the Father. God has chosen to be found in secret. It is supposed to be very personal. Corporate prayer is very powerful and can get prayers answered. Urgent arrow or text message prayers are needed, but it's your secret prayer life that brings intimacy, and that's what is best. And how do the Father and the Lord Jesus accomplish this secret prayer life and this fellowship? Okay, last scripture, 2 Corinthians 13. So flick forward again. 2 Corinthians 13. How do the Father and the Son accomplish this fellowship whilst we're still here on this earth? How do we contemplate the Lord's glory and increase in experiencing that glory? 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. They accomplish this by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God could not make fellowship with him any more accessible and available to all believers than this. You do not need to go to a certain building or special place to contemplate the glory of the Lord and be transformed. You do not have to travel anywhere to draw near to God. All you need is time and privacy. He is already there waiting for you. Now, just in case I needed more confirmation to show the video to you this morning, the Lord had John Platts send this text message on Wednesday, this Wednesday. It said, beloved, in the rush and tear of daily living, it will be hard for you to hear what I am saying. So, my dear one, always seek a place where you can be still, for it is there you will hear my words that mightily strengthen and thrill. Precious child of mine. So you've seen this video before, but it's the video I made in 2007 when I first started being still and letting God be God and working out what God was perhaps saying to me. Now you can do that by journaling, by reading his word, by sitting there and speaking and then listening, however you do it, whatever your better time might look like, sitting at the feet of Jesus, fellowshipping with him. Here's mine. So I just, we'll share the video now.